James chapter 5 in verse 16, the latter part of the verse, it says these words. Listen real close. I intentionally did not put it on the monitor. I want you to listen real close to what this verse says about prayer. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, that's not our text today, but it will serve somewhat as a springboard to our text. What is it saying? It says the effectual or the effective, fervent or dedicated prayer of a righteous man, someone who's rightly related to the Lord, serving the Lord the best they know how. It says availeth much. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about someone who is rightly related with God, going to prayer in fervent prayer, serious prayer, dedicated prayer. It has power and influence with God. And if it has power and influence with God, it has power and influence over the situation you're praying. Aren't you thankful for the gift of prayer? Aren't you thankful? I often wonder, what do people do who do not know the Lord as Savior? Where do they go? I mean, there's so many times that I go to the Lord, and Lord, I don't know the answer. I don't have the solution. I don't know how to fix it, but I'm thankful that you do. And I ask you to do this and to do this and to do this, to work on behalf of those situations. I am thankful for the gift of prayer. If you are, now don't get too excited now. They'll think you're charismatic. Just give me a little nod. Are you thankful for the gift of prayer? You know, it talks about this effective and powerful prayer that we can have. Let me ask you this question. You can fill in the blank. I'm not going to ask you to answer in particular. But I believe sometimes we feel like our prayers are more powerful or have more sway with God. And sometimes it seems like they hardly have any sway at all. Y'all agree with that? Answer this question in your heart. Sometimes it seems that my prayer are as powerful as a dead car battery at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, B, a spit wad blown through a straw, C, a hammer hitting a nail, D, a punch from Tim Cochran, which would be on the weaker side, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that there. E, a deer rifle shot, F, a stick of dynamite, or G, an atomic explosion. Regardless of what you may have answered in that, would you like to have more power in your prayers? Now, I understand that the power does not rest within me when I pray to God. But I do also understand there are certain things that I need to make sure that are right in my life and in my attitude as I pray to our power source, which is God. So would you like to have more sway with God? Would you like to have more power in your prayers that when you pray, God answers? Now, God does answer every prayer, yes, no, or wait. But wouldn't you like to have more yeses? In tune with God and His will, and He say, yes. If that be the case, if you answered yes to that, you'd like to have more power in your prayer, you've come to the right place today. We've been talking about, we're in a series on the Lord's Prayer. On the Lord's Prayer. This is only part two. Part two is three prerequisites of powerful prayer. Three prerequisites of powerful prayer. Prayer. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer today. Now, I know the Lord's Prayer has been preached on many times in many places by many preachers in many churches and time and time, but I really think God has something for us today. I really do. I think God has some encouragement for us today. And God has some words of wisdom from His Word to help us in our prayer life. The Lord's Prayer today, three prerequisites of powerful prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. If you would follow along, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. After this manner. Now, I know some people, I believe, take the Lord's Prayer a little bit too far, that that's all they pray, or they have a regiment that we have to pray it in church every Sunday, or certain. I don't believe that was what the intention was at all. But the Lord in His Sermon on the Mount says this is a pattern. This is a pattern of what our prayers should be like. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying it even as a congregation. As long as we know that our Father is the Heavenly Father, we can pray it. Nothing wrong with that. But it's also primarily, keep in mind, it's primarily a pattern for our prayers. Y'all agree with that? Just give me a little uh-huh, okay? And also, I know some people really talk a lot about, well, it's really not the Lord's Prayer because the Lord didn't pray this prayer. And you're right, He did not. Because it says in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Lord didn't have any sin. He never trespassed against anyone. So He did not pray it. So it's not like it's His prayer as far as He prayed this. But I look at it like it is the Lord's Prayer that He gave to us as a model prayer. So I don't have a problem. Someone say, well, it's the disciples' prayer. Well, I'm okay with that. But really, I still call it the Lord's Prayer because He gave it to us as a model. And I'm okay with calling it the Lord's Prayer. So let's read that. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer, three prerequisites of powerful prayer. Now, I think it really matters how we approach the Lord. And we're going to look in particular at three little phrases, if you will, that are found in this passage of Scripture. We're going to look at verse 9, the latter part, thy name. And then we're going to look at verse 10, thy kingdom. And then we're going to look also in that verse at thy will. And look at these prerequisites for powerful prayer. Now, I realize that these are words that the Lord has given us in prayer, but I think they represent an attitude that we should have when we come to the Lord. I mean, do y'all see that? I mean, I can say all the right words, but what really is important in prayer is that my heart is in tune with the Lord, right? And that I'm walking with Him. Remember that verse we started with, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it really does matter what's going on the heart. Now that doesn't mean like, okay, nobody can pray. If you're not perfect, you haven't had a perfect day, we're not perfect, we'll never be perfect. But we need to go to Him with the right attitude, right? And that's really what these prerequisites are talking about if you want to have powerful prayer. You want to have a powerful prayer life. And again, it's exhibited in these phrases, thy name, thy kingdom, and thy will. First prerequisite is this, a recognition of God's personality. A recognition of God's personality. Now, don't let that word personality like, whoa, that's kind of weird because I know some people with good personalities and bad personalities. All we're talking about, if we want to go to God and have powerful prayer before God, we need to recognize who He is. You know, God does have personality. He really does. It says, hallowed be thy name. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to recognize who He is. You know, I'm not one of these people. I don't think we should flower up our prayers and put all the these and the thous and these big long words and all the words that we can think of that are big and sound impressive. Actually, it addresses that just right before the passage that we're looking at, that a lot of people think they're going to be heard because they got a bunch of big words in their prayer, or they shouted, or they be noticed by other people. That's not the approach. If you want powerful prayer, you go to God with the right recognition of who He is. And believe me, you won't be shouting and trying to impress anybody if you're really in tune with who God really is. You see, God has personality. He is a powerful God. We need to praise Him in our prayers. Absolutely. We need to go to Him with that attitude of who He is, worthy of our praise. You know, God's personality includes such things as His holiness, His goodness, His love, His justice, His mercy, His forgiveness, His grace, and on and on and on. And if you want to have powerful prayer, you need to go to God and say, God, I'm coming to the God of the universe. I'm coming to You, and I know what a good God You are. Based upon who God is. It says, hallowed be Thy name. You know, I think some people take prayer a little bit too flippantly, you know. I mean, I could probably almost be rich if I had a dollar for every time that I tried to witness to someone about the Lord Jesus and to share the gospel with them. And I ask him this question somewhere along the line, have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? And you know what a lot of them say? I pray every night. And there's nothing wrong with that. Keep on praying every night. He hears, I believe, all prayers. How can God not hear? He knows everything, but He doesn't hear it as a child if that person doesn't know Jesus as Savior. But He hears it nonetheless. But you see, some people, even in Christian cycles or circles, they decide that they're going to be real casual with God. Hey, big buddy, I'm calling on you today. You know, it's like, well, that's a little bit over the top. He is our buddy. He does love us. He's our best friend. But we need to recognize God's personality, who we're going to. And you know, I mentioned, you know, some people in this world today, you'd think probably maybe 30 years ago, I'd say, people knew how to pray. I mean, even in public settings, you know, we sometimes see these things happening in Washington and special events, and someone prays, and people are going, you know, like, if you get a pretty good glimpse of who God is, you're not going to be going, hey, God. You know, it's going to be, whoa, I'm going to at least bow my head, and I'm going to close my eyes, and I might just get on my knees. Because He's a God that deserves all that, right? So you see, if you want to have powerful prayer, it says, hallowed be Thy name. Now, a name, as we know, especially in the Bible, a name means character. It means who they really are. Y'all agree with that? So we need to recognize, hallowed be Thy name. I'm coming to a God who has the nature and the character of being a good God and a faithful God and a merciful God, and we need to approach Him in that way, humbly before the Lord. Y'all agree with that? When you approach God based upon who He really is and not what others may say He is, there's power in prayer. You know, some people say God is like a mean Heavenly Father. Some of them call Him like a mean cosmic killjoy. Doesn't want us to have any fun at all. Or they may say, you know, God is more like a I just do not care type of God. He's just kind of a hands-off guy. But you know what? You and I need to see Him as He really is. As a loving Heavenly Father who wants the very best for us. When you recognize who God really is, there can be power in your prayer. And guess what? If you really recognize who God is, you and I will want to spend time with this God. We'll want to spend time talking. Now, prayer to me is one of the hardest spiritual disciplines there are. I mean, to get serious prayer. I'm not talking about one of these, oh, God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for this food. You know, food and good don't really rhyme. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. I hate to bust your spiritual bubble today. But I'm not talking about, y'all still with me? Hello? I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. That doesn't take much spiritual discipline. But you know, the list that we just got, you know, of all the people and all the concerns we got. Then, you know, Wednesday night we pray for the lost people. And you know, we all got problems in our own life and things that God needs to solve and on and on and on, and financial problems and many times relationship problems. We got a lot to pray. I'm talking about serious, dedicated prayer. That's sometimes hard to do that and to be serious about it and to be faithful about it. But you know what? If we really recognize God's personality and what he's like, I think we'd want to spend time with him in prayer. You know, I agree with you. Wouldn't it be great? You know, you get down on your knees and boom, there's God. And I look up and he's there and we can talk. Like, but you know what? That's where the faith element comes in as far as knowing that God is there and listening. And he's a loving Heavenly Father. You want power in your prayer? Prerequisite number one that I see in the attitude that's demonstrated in these words of Jesus in this model prayer: recognition of God's personality. Have you ever known someone that even on your best day, even on your best day, you really don't want to talk to them? You really just do not want to go through that stress today. Have you ever? Hello? Anybody human out there? You might need to pinch yourself, make sure you're still awake, human, alive. Do that hot air coming out. Hello? But even on your best day, there's certain people that you may not want to be around. That ought not be that way with God. According to God's personality and him being a loving God that always loves us, always has our best interest in mind, we ought to want to spend time with God in prayer. And even that very nature, that very thought or that very idea of wanting to do it probably will mean you'll do it more. And that's part of the fervent part of a prayer, right? The effectual fervent prayer, dedicated prayer. You'll want to spend more time and you'll have more power in your prayer. The type of God we serve can be demonstrated in one simple verse. Well, there's a bunch of them, but here's one. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. Who's that? God. For he, who's that? God, careth for you. God cares for you. Prerequisite number one for powerful prayer: recognition of God's personality. Prerequisite number two: recognition of God's power. Not only his personality and who he is as a loving Heavenly Father, but a recognition of God's power. And that's demonstrated in thy kingdom come. You know, the idea of kingdom probably speaks of God's reign, God's authority. And if God reigns, guess what? It's ultimately through his power. His power. The request here appears to be a recognition of God's power and a desire. And a desire. And I quote, that God may reign everywhere, that his laws may be obeyed, and especially that the gospel of Christ may be advanced everywhere until the world be filled with his glory. So says Albert Barnes, end quote. I'm thankful that I serve a God and I pray to a God who reigns, a God who has power. I mean, why would we even bother taking time to call out to God if he couldn't handle it? If he was just like a little puny, little tiny God. You know, we got a lot of dog lovers in the world. Some of you like these little tiny puny little dogs. Yip, yip, yip. We call them, ankle biters. You know, some people call them ankle biters. And some of you now, you get serious. Yeah, I mean, you want protection from your dog. You get these great big old dogs, German shepherds and huge dogs. And it's not like a whip, whip, whip. It's like a big roo, roo, right? Now, I'm thankful that my God is not wimpy. I'm thankful that my God has all power. And you know what? Why would we ever pray to God if he doesn't have all power? But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll go to God in prayer, but we don't actually in our heart believe that he has the power to solve that problem. If there could be a running commentary in our prayer to God, it's like, oh God, I pray that you'll work in this situation, but I really don't think you will. And I really hope you use your power to do it. And I really don't think you may not have that much power, but, and I really think that I'll probably die before this situation ever, you know. Do you kind of get the idea? We really need to go to God Now, we'd never say that. Like, oh, no, I'd never say that to God. You can't do it. But in your heart, do you really know that he has the power to do it? I mean, I know we're in a Christian setting, and somebody's like, whoa, Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian, so I believe God can do anything. But then you turn around, and you face a certain situation, and you're like, he can do everything but this situation. Can't have it both ways. Either he's a God that can all the time, or he's a God that you might as well just ignore then, right? But I'm thankful that my God is an all-powerful God. And when I approach him in prayer, if I want to have powerful prayer, I need to understand that he can do anything. You know, if we understand that he can do anything, our prayers will even be a little bit bigger, right? I mean, I think we sometimes pray some of the puniest little prayers. Why is it? Because we don't get a picture. This ties in to our Wednesday night sermon series. We don't, and if you're missing Wednesday night, you're missing a blessing. I don't know, short of hog tying you and bringing you and throwing you in a church van, how to get some of y'all here, but I'm telling you, you're missing a blessing. We'd love to have you out on Wednesday night. But we've been on a series, How Big Is God? Can I say, he's big.
Big.
Bigger than I could ever explain. And if we want to have powerful prayers, we need to understand thy kingdom come. You're reigning. And I do believe in this prayer there's always a wish for, okay, Lord, I do hope that your rule and your reign extends over all the earth. And it almost seems like to me, it's almost like a desire. Okay, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Prerequisite number two, recognition of God's power. You see, this is really where faith and prayer go hand in hand. Really. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Notice it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who? Please God. Wow. For he that cometh to God, do we come to God in prayer? We come to him in a lot of ways, but he that cometh to God, I think it applies to prayer, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I picture in this verse someone who prays and says, God, you can do it. You've got the power. When you recognize that God can do anything, there can be power in your prayer. Have you ever had a problem with a company or a bill that you received or something? You get a confusing letter from the gas company and you're trying to resolve it and you call them. And I don't know why this is. This is one of my mind-blowing and boggling. Nobody. How many of you enjoy getting a recorded message? Nobody. And companies are supposed to be customer-oriented, right? But all of them have machines that we all hate. Or voice recordings. You know, if it's this, press 1. If it's this, if your problem is this, press 2. And if you notice that it never seems to match what you want. And then a lot of times, you know, okay, now speak into the phone, what's your request? Representative, customer service, representative. And they don't ever seem to get it. And then you shout it, representative! Because you're trying to get someone that has the power to solve your problem, right? And then you talk to them. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, it was computer generated, so we can't do it. And then you say, can I talk to your supervisor? You ever done that? Let me talk to your supervisor. Now, we ran into somebody, and they're like, well, there's no supervisors on duty now. And you want to say, well, that's not my problem. Get them up. I'll talk to them. Get them from their picnic or wherever they might. You know, that's what you want to say. What are you trying to do? You're trying to get to someone who has authority, someone who has power. can I say that when you go to God in prayer, you're going to the top one. You can't get any more power, any more authority, any more reigning ability than Him. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? If you want to have powerful prayer, you need to go to God. First of all, and recognize who He is. He's a loving God that has your best interest in mind. And that ought to make you and me want to go talk to Him. Secondly, if you want to have a powerful prayer, you need to go to God and say, I know that the power rests with You. And not just let it be words, but know that when you ask Him to do something. Now, it may not be His perfect will to do that, but He has the power to do it nonetheless. That's the faith part. The faith that He has the power to do whatever He chooses to do. Three prerequisites of powerful prayer. Recognition of God's personality. He's a good, loving, heavenly Father. Recognition of God's power. He can do anything. And thirdly and lastly, prerequisite number three, a recognition of God's perfect plan. A recognition of God's perfect plan. That's found in the part where it says, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, when it says in earth, in my life, in my family, in my church, in my community, in my state, in my country, and in my world, in whatever situation I may find myself, God, Your will, Your perfect will, is ultimately what I want. And it says, as it is in heaven. Do you realize that God's will is done perfectly in heaven? If He wants it to happen, it happens. If He doesn't want it to happen, it doesn't happen. Now, we are given free reign and free choice in this world, right? But when we go to God, we need to recognize Thy will be done. And we need to be surrendered to do whatever God's will is for my life and for your life and whatever situation that you find yourself. You know, sometimes the reason we don't see God move and answer yes and see power in prayer as we go to the most powerful God ever, the only God. The problem is, we don't want to turn it over to Him ultimately. This is, Thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. You know, we need to go and say, God, whatever Your perfect will is, that's what I want. But some of us, we still got our little tunnel vision. No, I want what I want, God. And we wouldn't say that to God. There's so many things that we think in our mind as Christians that we would never say to God, but it's still there. And if you go to God and you say, well, okay, God, I want You to do this, 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 and this, and I'm not really sure You can. But, and then in addition to that, well, I'm praying that this happens. And Lord, oh, Lord, please don't let Your will be different than mine. I mean, like, come on. Is He God? If He's not God of all, He's not God at all. You see, we got to go when we go to God in prayer and say, God, You got this. I want Your perfect will. You know, there's a perfect plan that God has for your life. Perfect plan. We know that it starts at the point of salvation. When you trust in Jesus and you ask Him to forgive Him of your sins, and to be your Savior based upon what Jesus did on the cross. But God has a perfect plan for you. And that involves all those situations and all those problems and all those trials, all those tribulations that you're going through. You see, I really believe if we want powerful prayer, we got to really, truly in our heart surrender to God's will. And say, God, ultimately, I want Your perfect will to be done. There's a couple verses that demonstrate that God has a perfect plan. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to this. That you may prove or test what is that, what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
That's what I want with my life. I want to do God's perfect will. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when we go to prayer, we need to recognize that God has a plan and surrender our thoughts and our will to God's. It says, God, you've got the plan. Now, sometimes will that scare us? Absolutely. But back to point two, God's all powerful. He'll take care of it, right? I'm thinking of a prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all remember that prayer? Just before he went to the cross, he recognized that God has a perfect plan. Now, I know he was God and the Son of God at the same time, but he's speaking of God the Father. Look at Luke 22, 42. 42, 22 of Luke. It says, saying, Father, this is what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Here it is. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When we pray to God, you hear me say it probably about every Sunday morning when I pray. Lord, I'm going to ask, and Wednesday night too. Lord, I'm going to ask what we would like to see happen, but ultimately we want your perfect will to be done. And seriously, that needs not just to be words. That needs to be our heart cry. Ultimately, even if I don't see it, I don't necessarily, you know, my little human pea brain think that's the best way to go. God, I trust you. Here it is. It's a matter of trust. I want your perfect will to be done. In this situation that I'm praying about, with this illness that my friend has, in this relationship issue that I'm having with Fred, and on under financial problems, I ultimately want your perfect will to be done. That's a really good part to throw into your prayers and mean it. You know, you can pray your whole prayer, but at the very end, I would throw in there somewhere, Lord, this is what I'd like to see happen. This is my prayer, but ultimately, I want your perfect will to be done. It was good enough for Jesus to add that in his prayer just before he went to the cross. He's basically saying, Lord, if I could not have to go to the cross, but nevertheless, I want to do your will. And he did, and he followed through with that, right? Prerequisite number three, a recognition of God's perfect plan. You know, there's also a peace that comes with that surrender to God's perfect will. There is a peace. You know, a lot of people spent their whole life living their life as they've wanted to live it, even as a Christian many times. And God is going, okay, if you want to settle for second, third, fourth, fifth best, but I got the best plan, my perfect will, follow that. And even if you miss that cutoff, I'm terrible at missing cutoffs. Amy knows, I married my sense of direction because I have none by nature, okay? If I put, did you say amen to that? When I come to a stop sign, you know, and we're in unfamiliar territory, 9 times out of 10. Now, I'm not talking about places that I know necessarily, sometimes, but no, I'm not talking about places that I know necessarily, but places that are, my internal compass is all messed up. I don't know. I guess I was to tell my doctor, you know, somewhere that internal compass is, because I'll say, I need to go right here, right, Amy? And she'll say, left. So, let me tell you, just because our internal compass, just because what we think ought to happen, we think it ought to happen, guess what? Nah, let God handle it. And even if you missed a turn in life, and you say, well, God called me to do this 20 years ago, but I never did it. You know what I'd do? go to God very humbly and say, God, I missed it. I know I missed it. Now, don't tell me that people aren't ever in that boat, because I know they are. I've talked to people. And they say, you know what? God called me to be a missionary. Or God called me to be a preacher. Or God called me to start this ministry. Or God wanted me to do this, and I didn't do it. Let me tell you, right now is the best time to get right smack dab again in the middle of God's will. Say, God, I'm sorry, I missed that turn. Maybe for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's selfishness, stupidity, ignorance. I don't know. You just be honest with God and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, get me back in the center of your will. And when we go to God in prayer and say, God, I want your perfect will, and with that attitude and trusting him, it's the best thing you can do. And believe me, there can be power in our prayers when we do that. You know, it's kind of interesting to me that we men are notorious for ignoring assembly instructions. Please, wives, restrain from saying amen to that. But we trudge ahead as men because we know that we got this. And you know, I found, now sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I have got it and I have ended up okay. But there's been times it's like part A doesn't fit with part B, and how come? And you got to go back and look at the instructions, right? Sometimes in life, let me rephrase that. Really, every time in life, we need to go to the one who wrote the instruction manual for our life and say, God, you got this. You have a perfect plan, and that's exactly where I want to be. Today, we've looked at the Lord's Prayer, three prerequisites of powerful prayer. I really think if you soak this in, I think it can help your prayer life. I know that if I soak this in as I should, it will help my prayer life. Prerequisite number one, based upon hallowed be thy name. Recognition of God's personality. Recognition of God's personality. Let me ask you a question. Everybody looking up here. Everybody's eyes looking up here. Do you approach God in prayer recognizing him as a loving heavenly Father that you can trust? Because he always has your best interest in mind. If so, that's where power comes to our prayer. Prerequisite number two, based upon thy kingdom come, a recognition of God's power. Let me ask you. You answer this to yourself. Don't answer out loud. But do you approach God in prayer fully convinced that God can do what I ask him to do? Now, it may not be his will, but you're convinced that God has the power to do whatever you ask him to do. As the reigning King of Kings. Prerequisite number three was a recognition of God's perfect plan based upon thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Do you approach God in prayer knowing that God has a perfect plan for you and even for that situation and for everything we encounter in life, and you come with an attitude of surrender to God? God, ultimately, I want your perfect will. Can I tell you that's what's best for you? One big question I want to ask you. Do you want to pray powerful prayers? And get an all-powerful God working on your behalf, working on your family's behalf, working on your church's behalf and your community's behalf, and as we draw those circles bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't think any of us would like to have the power in our prayer life of a dead battery at 0 degrees Fahrenheit. We probably want a more powerful prayer life before God. But do you recognize God's personality, that he loves you? He's a loving God. Do you recognize God's power, that he can do anything? And do you recognize that God has a perfect plan